I appreciate the good singing this morning, and it's great to see all of you. Appreciate, Violet, you preparing the communion bread for us, and Karen preparing the bulletin. The Bible teachers downstairs teaching the Bible classes, Ted teaching the morning class, and leading our singing, Jess and Ted. So we... Everyone working together, we really appreciate that aspect of us being able to meet together and worship God and be edified. And we pray for the congregation as it we've had the families moving away. And we know that Jim is battling cancer. Linda is recovering from surgery. Diane's recovering from surgery. I have a lot of people that we need to be praying for. I wanted to read here a card from Betsy Whitener and David as they recently moved to South Carolina. It said, "Dear Church of Christ family, thank you for sending us off to South Carolina with two beautiful new Holman New King James Version Bibles. They're a lovely presentation of Scripture. We will certainly enjoy spending time in them. We have benefited greatly from our relationship with many members and profited from the teaching and preaching of Ted and Paul. And in fact, we feel we have received much more than we gave. We will miss you. Thank you for keeping us in your prayers as we make this journey south. In His love, Betsy and Dave." So I wanted to share that before we begin the lesson this morning. You know, we live today in an age of time that is, we have many conveniences. And these conveniences can be both a good thing and they can be a trap for us if we are not careful. Because today many people want to get everything instantly. We want to get things faster and cheaper. And that has become a way of life for us as we live in this day and age that we live in. I'm not sure exactly where it all began, but I can remember in the times when I was young growing up, that some of the advertisement, the beginning of having conveniences for the kitchen and for the household, like the dishwasher. And you see in an ad like this, the mother is there at this kitchen sink, and she is washing the dishes, and she is worn out, she's tired, and thinking about having to fold the clothes that are out there hanging on the clothesline. I remember those kind of days, and I never thought it was a bad thing, but as the dishwashers came out and the dryers for the clothes and things like that, of course, those modern conveniences made life easier, much easier for everyone. And today, as we think about living today, now we are in an even more modern age of the digital age, and we have computers. And so it's typical now to see people sitting down, sipping their Starbucks, and going on the line to check their emails and do a lot of their work that way. And we even have our cell phones now to take care of these things. But I think the problem with this is that it's an easy thing for us to begin to expect our Christianity to be easy and convenient also. I have no problem. I see no problem with... in fact, it's a great thing that we have the conveniences, the technology that we have to make life easier in many aspects. But when we begin to apply that in our religion and in our faith, then I think there is a problem that we need to face, and we need to be aware of the effect that can have upon us. I was reading again the story of the Mayflower, of those that came over from England and Holland on the Mayflower, and realizing how difficult life was for those people and the sacrifices that they made to come to this country, many of which was to find a way of life that they could have a religious freedom to worship God. But it wasn't an easy way for them. And many of them died. Many of them gave up everything they had and came and lived in a land here where there was nothing. It was a harsh land, even though tremendous lands of produce to be made and to be had here. But for those that were willing to work hard and make those kind of sacrifices. We're coming up on 400 years, by the way, of the Mayflower coming to America in a couple of years from now. So we've come a long ways as a nation of people here living in our country as we do. But I believe that God, looking upon us, has not changed. That God still expects of us, His people, the same kind of life and obedience to His will that He has always expected. So as we live in a day and time where life has become very easy in many ways for us, let's not forget that our life as a Christian isn't meant to be that way. Our life as a Christian is meant to be what God has always looked for in serving Him, the kind of faith and the kind of obedience that God is looking for. So I'd like for us today to turn to Psalm 34 and verse 17 through 19 as we look at this psalm for a moment and look for some principles here that we need to be applying to our life as we serve God and as we live the Christian life. But he says here in Psalm 34, and Gary, you did a great job reading the lesson this morning. Thank you. But he said, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry." And he said, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." And in verse 19, he said, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all." So as we think about this psalm here and what he is saying about the righteous, God's people, we see that he brings out the fact that their life is many times difficult, that they do have afflictions that they are encountering in life. And the wonderful thing about this, the great promise that is made here, is that the Lord hears the cry of the righteous. When we cry out to Him for His help, God hears that cry of the righteous. And what a wonderful promise that is of encouragement to us as we live here on earth and seek to follow God and seek to be His servants and His people in His church today. That we know that God hears our cry. When we call out to Him for help, we can count on Him to be faithful to us. And he talks about a number of other things here in this. But as we look at this, we see that God has never promised that we are going to be exempt from trouble here in this world. We are going to have afflictions. We are going to have trials that we face. Life is not meant to be easy. Life is not meant to be, as a Christian, to be easy for us. But it's easy for us to fall into that because of the conveniences that we have, the microwave oven, the internet, all the different conveniences of life that we now enjoy. How do we separate that from living the Christian life in a way that we can be strong and faithful to God in the way that God would have us to be? I would like to say that As we look around and we see that our numbers today are small, it's a good point for us to take as a little bit of a wake-up call here that we all need to be working together. We all need to be giving it our best attention and focus and energy toward the work of the congregation here. And we need to have everyone's cooperation and everyone's support in the work that we are doing if we want to be pleasing to God, if we want to be successful in God blessing us and God hearing our cry and God reaching out to bless the work that we are doing. We need to all be working together and giving it the best that we have. As we think about the easy way that it's easy for us to fall into as Christians, I want us to look at several examples in the Bible. And I think that most of us are aware of these, that we understand that really when we look at God's people in the Scriptures, the picture that we find is not of an easy lifestyle that God lays out for us. That He wants it to be where we can come 1 hour a week or one service a week and feel like we are doing the will of the Lord in our life. The Lord is looking for us to be, as I spoke about last week in our lesson here last Sunday morning, that the Lord is looking for a people who are zealous of good works. In Titus chapter 2, he wants to have a people of His own possession who are zealous of good works. And that's all. That's what God has always been seeking among His people. But as we think about going back into the Old Testament is a good place to begin, just like we are having our study on Sunday morning that Ted is leading us, and we are looking into the book of Genesis and wonderful lessons there that we find of men like Noah and men like Abraham that God called. And when God called Abraham out of the land of the Ur of the Chaldees, Abraham heard and followed the call of God. And he came into a land that God would show him and direct him and bless him so that they would become a great nation and a great people. And God would work through them and bless the world. Many of those examples, we see that those men of God who were faithful, they certainly did not take the easy way. They took a way that was difficult, a path that was difficult. God gave them a very challenging direction and call for their obedience of their faith. Noah having to build the ark, Abraham leaving his home and his family. Those were not easy things that God gave them. But we find an example in Genesis chapter 13 where Lot was the nephew of Abraham, and they were trying to decide where they would each find the pasture land for their sheep and their herds. And it tells us here that Lot looked to the plain of the Jordan. And he saw there that these were fertile green lands down where the Jordan Valley. And he chose that. He chose to go to that direction. He lifted his eyes and saw the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, and like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. And he chose for himself the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east and separated from Abraham. But it says, Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom are exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Well, I think that if we look at this, we can read between the lines to see that what Lot was thinking was, this is a good place for us to live. The grass, the fertile lands, he made that decision based on that. But in doing so, was it really the best choice for him? Because when it says he pitched his tent toward Sodom, the men of that city were very wicked toward God. Why didn't Lot think about that aspect when he made that decision in the first place? He wanted to go where it was easier for him. But in the long run, that proved to be a poor choice for him and his family. And the continuance of the story, we see the outcome of that in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the effect that it had upon his family and his household. A few chapters later, we find Abraham and Sarah, and God having given a promise of there being a great nation and having a seed as the sand on the seashore, and yet they didn't have any children. Abraham and Sarah consulted among themselves, and Abraham suggested to her Sarah suggested to Abraham that he would go in into his handmaid, his concubine, Hagar, and they would have a child through that process, through that means. And that's what they did. They were trying to help God out a little bit. Abraham and Sarah didn't seem to be able to have any children. She was barren. And so she took things in her own hands, in her own way, and gave her handmaid. Well, God came down later, explained to them why this was not his will, this was not his plan. He continued to bless Ishmael, who was born from this, to a certain extent, but he made it very clear that his promise was for them to have a child of their own. And in time, they were able and did have Isaac. But those examples is what I'm saying, that sometimes we take the easy way out rather than trusting God, rather than waiting for God to do as He is planning to do in our lives. We want someone else to do it. Many times when people come looking for a church today, what are they looking for? They're looking for a church that will give them something, that will provide for them what they are looking for without them having to do a lot on their part. They wanting a church that will serve and fit their needs. God is looking for people who are willing to be zealously committed to His work and to be people who love God and His Word and care about these things. That is in their heart, that is their priority of their life, wanting to serve God and glorify Him. Now we skip forward into the book of Exodus and we find the example of Moses. And Moses did not take the easy path where he could have easily done so as the prince of Egypt. But we're told about Moses and the decision that he made in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 24, where it says, "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." Now, Moses, as a young child, was placed in the basket in the river Egypt, the river Nile, and it was the Pharaoh's daughter that found him and took him into the Pharaoh's home. But she had his mother come and nurse him as a child. Well, we discern from the reading of this that Moses had grown up with a certain understanding that he was one of the Israelites, that he was of the people of God. Now, he made a decision at this point in his life to choose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin for a season. In other words, to remain on in the house of Pharaoh and live in the lifestyle of a king and a prince that he could easily have done. He chose not to do that. Why? Because of his faith that he was an Israelite. He was one of the children of God. But in making that decision, he understood he was choosing to suffer affliction with them. They were slaves. And the people of Israel at this time weren't always that faithful themselves. Moses could have easily said, "These people, honestly, you're kidding me. These are God's people. And I'm supposed to go and be part of this people and give up what I have here." And yet that's the decision he made. He did not take the easy path. He took the difficult road because that was the faithful way of God, and God blessed him. And he became the great leader of the people. And today, as we think back, one of the great names of all the Bible is Moses, because he made that decision of his life. Skip forward another few centuries and we find David. David, a man after God's own heart. And David had been anointed by Samuel that he would be the next king, the Lord's anointed. But King Saul was the king. And King Saul was pursuing David unjustly. He became angry at David and jealous, and he was pursuing him out through the hills and the caves and seeking his life. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 4, there's an incident in time where David, during the nighttime, his men came and they said, "David, King Saul is camped here, and he doesn't know that we are here." In fact, David was up on the hill, and he could view this whole scene. And he could look down there, and he could see where King Saul was sleeping in the camp. Unguarded. And David saw that it was very within his ability to do this, to sneak down with several men into the camp of King Saul, and they could have taken his life, and David could have seized the throne at that time. In fact, they did go down, and David cut off a little piece of his garment and brought it back. The next morning, David stood up on the hillside and called down to King Saul. And he said, "King Saul," and King Saul recognized him and said, "David, is that you, my son?" And David held up that piece of robe. And he said, "Look here, I could have taken your life during the night. But I didn't do that because you are the Lord's anointed. And I will not lift up my hand against you." These are some examples I am sharing to show that God's people that have had His blessing have been people who did not opt out for the easy way in serving God. And when Jesus came, He went into the wilderness with Satan, and Satan took Him up on the high mountain and He said, "Look, I will give you the kingdoms of the world will be yours if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said, "Get away from me, Satan, because you will worship the Lord your God, and Him only will you serve." The Bible is full of these examples that we can turn to one after the other to see how God's people did not take that path. And Jesus did not take that path when He went to the cross for our salvation. Now we might say, well, what is the purpose in this? What is God's purpose? Why has God made the path so narrow? Why can't God just make His way here on earth easier for us? More people would be saved. Why can't He make it more convenient for us? Why is it a difficult way? Why do the righteous suffer afflictions and suffer trials and even persecutions? And you know the answer to that question is because it's not the best thing for us. to live the easy way of life. The easy way is not the best way. God's ways are higher than our ways. We're told that in the Scripture. My ways are not your ways. Neither are my thoughts your thoughts. For as the heaven is above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Whenever we go through trials in life, we are being refined like gold, the Bible says. The ore of the gold, it goes through the fire, it comes out refined and pure. That's what God is seeking to do in our lives. Trials develop those qualities in us. They help us to be strong. They help us to be more like God, to call upon God. Just as he says there, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears their cry. It's through those trials that God allows us to face in life that we grow in our faith, in our trust in God, turning to him for his help. And our character grows as a result of that. We grow in our faith. We grow in our hope of eternal life, that God has promised us a home in heaven. We become more like Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 that Jesus left us an example that we should follow his footsteps. And that example that he left us was when he died on the cross. And he suffered. He suffered and died on our behalf. And it says he left us an example that we should follow his steps. That we should be like him in our life. He went through those things for our behalf. And as it says there in the book of Hebrews, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And he became the author of our salvation. It's through patience that we have hope, Paul says in the book of Romans. Sometimes today we're looking for something else than that in our life. We're busy, we have so many things that we think are urgent that needs to be done. And so we want an easier way of serving God. And the fact is, we cannot make the Christian life easier than God planned and appointed for it to be. The apostles, think of the hardships that they went through in establishing the church in places like Asia Minor and Greece and Rome, and going on those journeys that the apostles went on. In Acts chapter 14, when they came here into this area of Asia Minor, it said, when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. We see in our work that we're told that even in our work as Christians, we are to be different. We are to be diligent in our work. And we are to be honest and of integrity in our work. As we serve our employers, as we serve our masters, he says, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. He was speaking there of actual slaves in the context, and telling them that as they were under their masters, many of which were not godly people necessarily, that nevertheless they were to be diligent in serving their masters. Because who are they really serving? They're serving God. They're serving the Lord. And they're wanting to bring honor and glory to God through the work that we do. We still can apply that principle when we go out to work each day. That I'm a Christian. The work that I do, I want to honor God. I want that to reflect to my faith that I am a Christian. The quality of my work, the attitude of my work is seen through the way that I do my job. We take that into our families and in our marriages, in our raising of our children. And is there an easy way? Yes, there's an easy way when it comes to our marriage. Many people today take the easy way out. After the beautiful wedding, time goes on, the marriage begins to hit upon the rocks. What do people do? They take the easy way out so many times. They end up in the divorce court, or they just skip out, and first thing you know, they're living with someone else. There's no commitment in the marriage relationship like it should be. God tells us in Mark chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10, speaking of the marriage relationship, He says, "Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." We find that in Matthew's account that there is given the exception, except for the cause of sexual immorality. But Mark presents that in the way that, well, let not man separate. That's God's purpose in the marriage relationship. And when it comes to raising children, there's an easy way out that we can take. And that is, you know what the easy way out is when our children are misbehaving, we just kind of pass that off. Oh, they're cute. You know, the kids, it's cute how they misbehave and they talk back and they start doing things that we really wish they wouldn't. And they throw a fit while we're going through the shopping line at the store. And they want a piece of candy or want something. So we give it to them. That's the easy way out. Further down the line, what happens? We have major problems. They have major problems. We have not disciplined them. We have not trained them as they should have been trained. Because it was too difficult. That was too much hard work on our part at the time to go through that. Solomon says in Proverbs, he says, "Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell." I wish they would have put in the scripture when they translated that way, instead of saying a rod, that it would say a switch or a sapling off of a tree, because that's really what it is referring to. Because when Aaron's rod was put into the ark, it budded. It was a switch. It was a strip off of a tree, and that is what the scripture is really teaching us, that we need to discipline our children, and there's a right way to do that when they are young. And we save their soul from hell by doing that. We discipline, we train them in the way of the Lord. But it's hard work. It's hard work. It's not easy to do that. But the rewards speak for themselves. And so we do not settle for the easy way when it comes to our salvation. We attend Bible classes. We attend worship. We attend evening service. We attend Wednesday evening service. We have home Bible studies. We pray. We support. We go and visit people when they are sick, because we want to be faithful to the Lord. We want to be His people that He wants us to be. In Hebrews chapter 2, and verses 1 through 3, the Hebrew writer speaks about how we can take the easy way out. He says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Well, there's good news and there's bad news in all that we're saying here in the lesson today. And the bad news is that if we take the easy way out, we're going to become weak. We're going to fail the Lord in many ways. Many things that the Lord asks of us, we aren't going to perform those. We're going to rationalize, we're going to excuse, we're going to convince ourselves that's really all the Lord is looking for. The Lord will accept whatever we offer to Him. But on the other hand, the good news is that if we are dedicated and if we are faithful to the Lord, just as He is saying there in the psalm, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Christianity isn't supposed to be easy. There is no such thing as easy Christianity. If it is easy, it's not Christianity. If it's Christianity, it's not easy. C.S. Lewis, he once said, if you are looking for a religion that's going to make you feel comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. Isaac Watts wrote the song, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? And these were the words. He says, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend of grace to help me on to God? Since I must fight, if I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy Word. Those are wonderful words of encouragement for Christians to listen to. We face trials, we face hard. The Lord did not make His way easy for us. But the way of the Lord will bring His blessing. He will bless His people. And the world today needs those like God is calling for, a people who are zealous of good works, who belong to the Lord. We're going to stand and sing together the invitation song tonight. If you're here this morning and if there are those that need to respond to the invitation to come to the Lord in obedience to the gospel, to believe and repent and confess and be baptized into Christ, we're going to sing the song of invitation. But let's let it also be a time of reflection in our thoughts of where do we stand in our commitment to God? Where do we stand? Are we looking for the easy way, the easy path, the least commitment to take the minimum way of the Lord? Or are we willing to stand tall and be the people that God is needing and looking for in His service today? All right, we're going to stand and sing the invitation song. We invite you to come.
Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where the storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, they tell me. tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me that he smiles on his children there, and his smile drives their sorrows away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again, in that lovely land of unclouded day. Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a hope where no storm clouds rise.